I've got seven things listed if you're interested. Number one, we find the ministry of John the Baptist. Amen. And then secondly, we find the birth of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we find the life of Jesus. Great, wonderful principles and characteristics that we must learn right here in the Gospels. Number four, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Number five, the calling of his disciples. Amen. And then number six, his miracles. And then number seven, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Say that with me. It's very pertinent and very important. You will not hear this taught or preached in many denominational churches today because it draws a specific line between the church age and the world. And there are many, many churches that do not want to draw that line. And what we have come up with is worldly churches and a churchy world. It doesn't matter if he was an axe murderer to the world. When they bury them, he was the greatest saint of God that ever lived. And that is not true. You say, well, do you say that? You don't say that. But you don't tell somebody that they've got a brand new halo hanging over their head either. What I'm saying is simply this. There is still a right and a wrong. There's still a good. There's a bad. There's still that which is super spiritual, and there is that is super evil. And men of God have still got to preach it. And it must be declared. If not, people, there'll be a generation that will rise up that will not know their Savior and will not know the truth. And so what I share with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is absolute truth. There are absolute truths in the Word of God that we've got to come to grips with and get a handle on so that we can move further. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we do find the Gospels, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's pertinent. And I'll share that with you here in a little while. What we do not find in the Gospels is this. No Christian church was founded in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not where you go to start a church. It's where you go to learn about Jesus, to learn about his ministries, to learn about his miracles, and to learn about his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's got a purpose. Secondly, not one person received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at John 7, 38 and 39. Amen. Men could repent and have their sins forgiven in the Gospels. But I want you to see the Word of God here tonight. Amen. And notice John 7, 38 and 39. He that believeth on me. Now, there's something you got to catch. Right after this. Now we grab hold of the fact that he that believeth on me, everything believes on Jesus. My Bible says that even the devil believes in Jesus and trembles with fear. But that doesn't save him. And it isn't going to save him. And it will not save this generation. He that believeth on me, how do we believe on him? Well, here it is. Are you ready for it? It's right out of the Word of God. As the Scripture hath said. And then it said, out of his belly shall flow. It's not flowing today. It's not flowing right now. But it's going to in the very near future. He said, out of his belly shall flow, future tense, rivers of living water. Now, what is he talking about? Out of our bellies are going to flow rivers of living water. You know, it's kind of like that guy that Jesus told him. He said, you must be born again. And he said, are you serious? How is a man going to go into his mother's womb and be born again? It's ridiculous. Well, what he was thinking was ridiculous. And if a person was to think a real river was going to come out of their belly, they'd be thinking ridiculous. And so the Lord explained exactly what he was talking about. Amen. And we find it in verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. He was speaking of the Holy Ghost. which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Somebody help me. Did they believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Had they received the Spirit yet? No. Because it was not yet given. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So that part of the scripture has not been fulfilled as of yet. We are simply now, there was four posts at the entrance of the outer court in the Old Testament. And that's what the four Gospels represent. The doorway to the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. And so we're going deep here tonight. Follow after me. Amen. Men could repent. They could have their sin forgiven in the Gospels. Amen. For instance, the last Old Testament convert was the thief on the cross. Somebody said, well, if you got to believe in Acts 2:38, why did the thief on the cross, Jesus say to the thief on the cross, this day you're going to be with me in paradise? We're talking Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, because before Jesus died, it was Old Testament. You say, well, we were in the New Testament. The New Testament door was open, but it's not been fulfilled. As long as Jesus was alive, we're still in the Old Testament. You know and I know that a testament cannot be passed out to those that inherit it until the testator is dead. Amen. It would be illegal for my boys to come up and say, this is my house now and you gave it to us. You got to find a place to live. Amen. And if I went first, they'd have my wife to deal with after that. Amen. So it's called an Old Testament and a New Testament for a reason. Amen. And so it is. However, let me say, full salvation or conversion was not possible until after Jesus was crucified and then he ascended. Amen. We're going to get Luke chapter 22, verse number 32 for you. Amen. And we're going to get a look at that. If the other sound man will write down the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 and verse 8, we'll read that one afterwards. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to look at Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Jesus is saying, I don't need your faith to fail because I'm taking you somewhere. When thou art converted. Okay? So apparently they're not converted yet. When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 8. The action book of the Bible. Praise the Lord. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Why? But wait for the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? Which saith he, you have heard of me. Now look at verse number 8. But you shall receive, this is the promise, you shall receive power when? These folks believe in Jesus. They know him. They've seen him face to face. They've followed him. And now Jesus is saying, just because you've seen me, just because you believe in me, does not mean that you have received the power. You shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You're not going to receive the power until the Holy Ghost comes, and the Holy Ghost has not come yet to fill them. Amen. All right. Now, let me give you a gospel warning before we leave the section of the gospels. We must go on to the book of Acts to find where the first church was founded. There was not a church in the Gospels. He spoke to them from a boat. He spoke to them in the wilderness. He spoke to them in the synagogue. He spoke to them everywhere he possibly could, preparing them. John the Baptist blazed a trail before him and even baptized unto repentance. Later, they had to change the baptism formula because now they were being baptized in the name of Jesus. But John the Baptist blazed a trail, and then Jesus comes along, and then he blazes a trail, opening the door to the New Testament through the Gospels. Amen. And so, note the authority given to the apostles by the Lord. Amen. You've got to see this. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a revelation to this generation, and they need to hear it. Amen. There was authority that was given to the men that followed after Jesus Christ to the point that he called them his disciples and he called him his apostles, and that's why we have the apostolic church. Because this is the church of the apostles. We believe every word they said because they were ordained of God. And the words that he gave them, they even pinned to parchment and became our Bible. Holy men of old were moved on by the Holy Ghost and they wrote the Word of God. Now, it is clear in the Word of God that we can't add any more to it and we can't take any more away. You can be an apostle, but you can't write any more Bible. Don't you love the absolutes in the Scripture? Don't you just love that? We're not left with a bunch of wishy-washy. We're not left with a bunch of, I don't know what to do, or I think I feel what to do, or business like that. But I do want you to understand the authority that was given to the apostles by the Lord. John chapter 17 and verse number 20. I'd like for you to see that before we leave this section of the Gospels. Neither pray I for these alone. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not just praying for them. My departure's at hand. And I'm not just praying for them, but for them also which shall believe on me. Jesus said, those that will believe on me, how? Through their word. Don't try that, I only believe the red letters in the Bible. That is so goofy. They were not read when they first were written. They got read so people could just at a glance signify when Jesus was speaking to his disciples or to the crowds or wherever and whenever. But right here, he passed the baton of authority to his apostles. He said, I'm not just praying for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So I'm not just praying for the apostles, I'm praying for those that will hear their words. Amen. Amen. The Lord is not here to give you his Bible and his words as a leverage to hang over your head to keep you from doing what you want to do. Anybody can do whatever you want to do. Just understand the Scripture so you'll understand when you're being rebellious against it. Or when you're following it and being obedient to it. Amen. Praise God. When we were born again, we were born to Him. And we are sold out, as the song says. Amen. We are not ownership of this vessel any longer. It belongs to God. He does as he wills, hopefully. Amen. And then so we've left the Gospels, all right? We've learned about his birth. We've learned about his miracles and signs and wonders and what he can do, who he is, and most importantly, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now we move into the actions of the apostles. And what Jesus, the fulfillment of what he wanted them to do. Amen. So here in the book of Acts, and I want you to hear me well. The book of Romans is not the book of salvation. The book of Romans was written to the church at Rome. That's right, the church. The church was already established in the book of Acts. You're skipping Acts and going to the letters written to the church. You can't get to the church except through the book of Acts. So let's slow down a little bit and go through the book of Acts. We learn in the book of Acts exactly how to be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, people come to you and say, I heard you guys are a little bit different. What's the difference? This is the difference. This is the difference. We don't leapfrog over the book of Acts. It's the only book in the Bible that's not completed until Jesus comes. It doesn't say amen, so be it. It's finished at the end. The book of Acts continues because that's where the church was established, and the Lord wants the churches to continue to be established until he comes, just like they did in the book of Acts. So we learn how to be born again. What do we find in the book of Acts? Are you ready for this? Number one, men were born again. John 3 and 5 is fulfilled. Amen. Let's look at John 3 and 5. Praise God. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born. How? Somebody help me. Read it. Water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There are people here that have probably, this is the first time you've ever heard that. It's because the religious world in our, the religious realm in our world does not want to draw lines and give absolutes. One of the preachers of one of the largest churches in the world was interviewed by a television host, had the opportunity to share this gospel with the whole world, and was asked a specific thing. And they just laughed and smiled and hum-hawed around and beat around the bush and gave a big spill. And when they were done, there was still no answer. God's not calling politicians. He's calling preachers. Amen. And we're not trying to make anything fit everybody. We're letting people know that there's lines that are drawn. If you want to join us, step across the line with a made-up mind. We're not here to be the most popular people in the world, because we never will be. Jesus said, they will hate you for my name's sake. I'm here preaching the name of Jesus, whether the world likes it or not. Amen. I'm not here to challenge the devil. I know better than that. I'm no match for him. I'm not here to challenge the world. I'm not even a match for that. But Jesus is. So I'm just simply here to preach Jesus, and he can take care of the devil, and he can take care of the world. Amen. He said, verily, verily. When he says verily, verily, it's like somebody saying, hey, hey, I need your attention right here. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what are you going to do with that? Well, I certainly don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to make anybody mad either, but I want to share the truth with them, because it's the truth that makes you free. Right? Amen. And so we find it in the book of Acts. The first church founded, it was founded on the day of Pentecost. That's why we celebrate the day of Pentecost. This Sunday, we just brought all of our friends, and we're going to bring them again Sunday. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Isn't that a good thing to be? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. A fire, yes. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Right then was the power, what did the power fell, and the promise was fulfilled. Isn't that beautiful? I want the power to fall on every church in America. If there's anything this world needs, it needs power-filled churches. We're not playing games. Amen. We're not waving streamers and line dancing. Amen. We're up here filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we want the anointing of the Spirit to break every yoke and tear down every stronghold in everyone's life. Amen. And so we're here to announce that the church was born in the book of Acts, and that's where we must go to be born again. Amen. Amen. Then we find water baptism. How do we find water baptism? We find it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have, I'll give it to you in a little while. Amen. But let me give you this. Water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. The church at Jerusalem baptized in the name of Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. This is New Testament, folks. This is what Jesus wants us to live. We can't be particular about. Listen, who preached this? Somebody shout it. Who preached this? Somebody shout. Peter did. Simon Peter preached this. And so my question to our religious world is, if one thing that he preached is correct, then why isn't everything that he preached correct? If I've got to do, you know, if I've got to look at people and have faith and say, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And I believe that with all my heart. And I've seen it many times. Amen. How many of you believe that? Come on, do you really believe that? Woo, that's awesome. Now we're going to go to something else Simon Peter said. He said unto them, repent and be baptized. How many of you? Every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remission, the washing away of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now let's shout again, because that's what Peter said also. If you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then you need to be baptized. Amen. You say, well, I was baptized. How were you baptized? I've got a feeling that most majority of people have been baptized with the preacher saying, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. That was adopted by the Catholic Church, which came into fruition about 300 years after they were already being baptized in Jesus' name. They took it away from the church and started putting titles on it. Hey, my God is not a title. He's got a name. And Simon Peter told us to baptize in that name. You know what the devil has against the name? You can preach anything you want to preach. You can sing anything you want to sing. But don't preach about that name. Because it's at that name that blinded eyes are opened. It's at that name that deaf ears are unstopped. And it is at that name that sins are washed away. Amen. Are you with me in the Word of God? Amen. So water baptism was applied at the church of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It was applied at the church in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, verse number 16. Amen. Praise God. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not fallen. Listen, just because somebody says, I believe in Jesus Christ, that is not the sign that you've received the Holy Ghost. There is no scripture verifying that. In fact, I've got a scripture that speaks otherwise, and it's right here. Because they believed, but as of yet, the Holy Ghost was fallen upon none of them. Only, they were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, so they were baptized. Amen. And then the church at Caesarea in Acts chapter 10, verse number 48. And he commanded, somebody shout the word, he commanded. Say it again, commanded. Amen. He didn't make a suggestion, and he didn't say if you've got time or if you will. Amen. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Amen. Somebody give me the Lord's name. Isn't it beautiful to hear without being said in vain? Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. And then the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, verse number 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. All the apostles, Mary, his own mother, amen, prayed until they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, here's the evidence. We don't pray for people to speak in tongues. We pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost. And everyone in the New Testament that received the Holy Ghost spoke in tongues. Praise God. They spoke with tongues. All right? When the church was founded in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Amen. Amen. I want you to see that. Praise God. I want you to see beyond me speaking here tonight. I want you to see the fact that I'm giving you scripture. Amen. And they were all, everybody shout all. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, every one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How did they know? Because they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the sign of the Holy Ghost is tongues. Praise God. Amen. They spake with tongues. Church at Jerusalem, when it was founded, spoke in tongues. Church at Caesarea was founded. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. Amen. Look at this. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. While he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on those that heard the word. Now, how do they know that? And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, and now this is blowing the Jews' mind. It's all unfolding now. It's all unfolding. This gospel, when Jesus was crucified, you remember the story. The veil in the tabernacle was split wide open, signifying that it didn't matter if you were Jew or Gentile, Samaritan, or who you were. Now you can get into the holiest of holies and get this stuff for yourself. Amen. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And my question is, how do you know? And then the next scripture gave me the answer. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they know. That's how we always know. We're still in the New Testament church, and it still happens today, and it's going to happen Sunday. Somebody's going to receive the Holy Ghost because they're going to begin to speak in that heavenly language. Woo! Amen. I'm trying to teach, praise God. And so it was, and we can go on. Now, let me give you a warning concerning the book of Acts. Not one person in the entire Bible was ever baptized using the words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to look with me at Matthew 28, 19. This is what Jesus said. When he said this, he was speaking to his apostles. His apostles finally learned what the name of the Lord was. And everyone knew it was Jesus. And this is that. Go, he said, go ye therefore. This is what I want you to do. I want you to teach all nations. I want you to baptize them in the name. In the name of the Father. In the name of the Son. And in the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, how many of you out there believe that there is only one God? How many of you believe that he came in the flesh? And that person that came in the flesh, somebody tell me his name. That is the name we baptize, because that is the name of the Father, that is the name of the Son, and that is the name of the Holy Ghost. All these three are one. And there's only one name. Amen. I cannot risk my salvation, and I cannot risk your salvation by baptizing you in a title saying Father or Son or Holy Ghost. I'm a Father. I'm a Son. But that is not my name. Amen. He's a Father. He's a Son. But that is not his name. Somebody ought to shout the name. Woo! The reason we're so excited about what we're talking about tonight is because it is absolutely the truth. It's the truth. Praise God. Amen. No one in the entire Bible was ever baptized using the name Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19 said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost." Praise God. And that name is Jesus. Not one person. Amen. Listen, this is important. If the apostles and the mother and Jesus' mother, Mary, his own mother, were wrong in believing the scriptures that we're giving you tonight, then there is no hope for any of us, because they all received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and they were all baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Now, this is what the apostle said. Remember, Jesus gave them the word to preach. Am I correct? He said, "I'm not just praying for my apostles, but I'm praying for everyone that will hear their word and be obedient to their word." This is what the apostle said. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." It was so vitally important that he get this message across, until in the very next scripture verse, he said it again. "As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." I cannot afford to preach a convenient gospel. I cannot afford to preach a gospel that tickles your ears. I cannot afford to preach a gospel that that's real nice and fluffy and not stuffy. I've got to preach a gospel that you believe in or you don't, because you have that choice. Amen. Praise God. Because I stand to be cursed of God if I don't. Do you want me to tell you what the curse is? It's not in the Bible study, but I'll step aside for a moment and tell you what it is. I'll tell you what the curse is. It's a reprobate mind right here in the pulpit that will believe a lie and be damned. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I don't want that for myself, and I don't want that for my family. And so I must preach the gospel that was delivered to the apostles. Not one soul was ever baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They were all baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You will not make a mistake by obeying Acts 2:38. You cannot make that mistake. Praise God. Would you get that for me? Hallelujah. Amen. Again, he said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Everybody wants to do good deeds for God. Amen. And it's good. You know what that says? You want to be a very good friend to the bridegroom. Amen. But he needs more than friends. He needs more apostles. He needs more disciples. And he needs more people falling in love with the truth. And then when we do good deeds, they will sow seeds and something will come from them. We just won't be floating around all over the place and not really accomplishing anything. Amen. And so make no mistake about it. You do not. Can I say it like this? You can't lose with the stuff we use because we're using the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the Gospels was the life of Jesus. Acts was where the church was found. And then we have the epistles where the apostles are going about starting, building, and maintaining and training the church. And we'll be done. This is from the book of Romans through the book of Revelation. We learn how to live a Christian life in this section of the New Testament. What do we find in the epistles or the letters? These books were written to the churches after they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, after they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after they are speaking in tongues. Why were the epistles written? They were written to instruct born-again Christians, not sinners. Amen. These epistles are written to the church. The Gospels and the book of Acts is for sinners. The epistles is for the church. Praise God. To instruct born-again people of God, number one, how to live. Number two, how to worship. Number three, church discipline. And number four, how to develop the fruits of the Spirit. How to develop them. Amen. Don't just pick them and run around with them and not know what to do with them. We got to learn what to do with them. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And what that means is you can break the speed limit and you can have more than you need and go as fast as you want, get as much as you want. There is no law. So I'm challenging everyone here, don't just skim the surface. Get the love, get the meekness, get the temperance, get all of that that comes along with the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And fall in line with the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and all that. What we do not find in the epistles is, number one, not one person was baptized in all the epistles. It's not the book of salvation. It's books to the church. Not one person received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in all the epistles. Let me tell you this. A lot of people will read the epistles and say, see there, right there, that book of Acts stuff over there on the day of Pentecost, that's the thing of the past. Okay. Let's say what you're saying makes one little iota of sense. If the book of Acts is the past, that's after the Gospels. Is that a thing of the past? So do we say, oh no, the Gospels aren't a thing of the past. Well, they were past the book of Acts. No. All of it is the Word of God. We've just got to learn how to rightly divide the Word of God. The Gospels were the introduction to the New Testament. The Acts were the establishing of the church, the beginning of the New Testament church. And the epistles are the disciplines and the direction and the guidance and the rules of the New Testament church. Amen. This is where we learn our faithfulness. This is where we learn about love and all of that. And this is where we learn about we've got to be in church whether we want to or not. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the Lord teaches us how to be good preachers. It teaches us how to be good stewards. It teaches us holiness and righteousness before God. It teaches the ladies how to be separate from men and men to be separate from ladies so we don't have problems just before the coming of the Lord with men and women not knowing what they are. That's what the epistles do. Amen. And so, the reason for the epistles, they had already been baptized. The people have already been baptized, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, these churches could not have been founded. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm going to give you some warning scriptures and we'll be finished. To the churches, and the scriptures that I'm about to give you are epistles that are written to churches already born again. These scriptures are never to be used as a substitute for the plan of salvation. There is no substitute for the plan of salvation. You take the Gospels and you can apply it to what God wants to accomplish in the book of Acts. You can take the book of Acts and apply it to the epistles and understand what God wants to accomplish in the churches. And so, let's look at Ephesians 2 and 8. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If someone did not comprehend the book of Acts, they would think right there that all I've got to do is have faith. No, no, no. We've got to understand that though we repent of our sins, though we are baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus, and even though we are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't you ever forget it was the grace of God that did all that for you. That's what that's saying to the church. To the church that's already been baptized, already been filled with the Holy Ghost, they know exactly what he's saying. This isn't the beginning of a walk with God. This isn't the beginning of a relationship with Jesus. This is for a relationship that's already started. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Everything God gave you at the point of salvation is a gift from him. That's what they're saying. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians 12 and 30. Have all the gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues. Do all interpret. Amen. Praise God. What it's saying is, does everybody have a gift of healing? Here's how God operates with the gifts of tongues and the gift of interpreting tongues. He's talking about prophecy here. He's not talking about salvation tongues. He's talking about the gift of prophecy. Amen. Can one man begin to prophesy and keep that label? And him only and no one else, and someone else in the church is moved on by the Holy Ghost and they prophesy. Is this man supposed to get mad and quit the church because they prophesied and I didn't? And what the Bible is saying, listen, be careful. Don't put a claim on the gifts of God, because God can move on any individual at any given time. That's what he's saying to the church. It's not saying, well, there goes gift of healing, it's gone. Oh, there goes tongues, they're gone now. And there goes the interpretation of tongues. All right, it's gone. Thing of the past. Listen, we better learn to rightly divide the Word of God. That's where we're at tonight. Praise the Lord. All right, another warning. Are you ready? 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Amen. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So again, this is not talking to someone trying to be born again. If it were, then all you would have to do is, love your brother. I love you, man. You're born again. That's misinterpretation of the scripture, because when you read that verse, you don't know where you are. When you read that verse, you're sitting in the middle of a Sunday school class for all of those people, and all those people around you have been born again already. And they're learning that if you want to maintain a Christian walk with God, you got to love your brother. You got to pass from death to life. Anything that's not in Jesus is dead, and it must have life. And he's the only one that gives life. That's all it's saying. That's not how you're born again. It's how one of the ways that you maintain your relationship with God. Amen. And so let's look at 1 John 5 and 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. See that? Do you see how easy it would be for someone to find that scripture and say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And then you see how easy it would be for somebody to lay claim to that scripture and say, that's how I was born again. That's my born again experience right there when I read that. I believe that. That scripture was written for people to believe that's already been through the Gospels and they've already been through the book of Acts. They've already had their day of Pentecost. And now they're going into a deeper relationship with God. This isn't the beginning. This is for deeper detail. Amen. Praise God. And then Ephesians 5 and 26. that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I've given you about five or six different ways that people believe in our world that you're born again. No wonder we've got a plethora of different kinds of churches preaching everything under the sun. It's because the word is not rightly divided. There's only three sections in the New Testament. The Gospels, where we learn of Jesus. The book of Acts, where the church was born. And every church should be born just like that one, because that was our founding fathers. You build on the foundation. And then the epistles, and that was the letters that are written to the church. That's what I'm delivering here tonight. Letters to the church. Teaching. Disciplining. Sharing. So that we can learn and grow and sow that seed as well. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. We know we're washed by the word. How are we washed by the word? By obedience to it. Listen. You're not going to obey someone you don't love. There's no matter, I don't care how much I preach or how much I teach, there's a reason why. You're not going to obey someone you do not love. And you can say it all you want to, but you are never in love with someone that you don't obey. And so the Word of God is telling us to love Him, obey Him, that all of the Scripture could be fulfilled. Amen. Are we ready for the rapture? Are we ready for the rapture? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We're going to go to 17 real quick. But I would not have you to be ignorant. And that's the main reason for the epistles. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Here we go. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Again, not the plan of salvation, but a hope for the church that's already born again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're going and they get to go as well. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Praise God. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Christians call it the rapture. Bible calls it calling away. Either one, I don't care what it's called. I just want to be a part of it. Let's stand together. Amen. Amen. And so the epistles are instructions to the church. Gospels, life of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Book of Acts all by itself, because it's the book that churches are founded. The root and the base and the foundation where every church should be born and constructed. And then you have the rest of the New Testament for epistles and letters. Book of Prophecy and Revelation. Instructions to the churches. Three divisions. And we've got to go through all three divisions. So that when we get to the epistles, we're not confused, because we've already been through the book of Acts and had our Pentecost. We get to the book of Acts, we're not confused, because we've already walked with Jesus through the Gospels and we know what he expects. I really want us to get this, folks. We really need to get this. Because there are so many thousands of people that don't know this. How can we afford to know this and not share this? So I'm trying to be a little John the Baptist up here and be a forerunner of Pentecost Sunday. Let's pack this place with people that need this. And if you'll push, I'll pull. And every one of our guests and visitors will be caught in the middle. And their lives will be made better. I'm not reaching out to others to make my life better. I'm reaching out to others to make their life better. But once I make their life better, I know that my life's going to be made better because of that. Amen? So again, how many of you have a friend that you're going to bring with you? Oh, yeah, come on. All right. Holy Ghost, I pray that you would stamp the Word of God indelibly into our hearts. Lord, that you would penetrate it from our mind to our soul, to our spirit, to our hearts. And Lord, let the root of the Word of God, this very basic Bible study that I've given tonight, let it take root in our souls. Let it take root in our hearts. Let it become a passion to us that we share with each other and that we share out there in the world. I pray in Jesus' name, your will to be done. Lord, move us that in a way that you are... Your joy, your thrill, your fulfillment is absolutely satisfied this Sunday with the crowd that's going to be here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we love you, and that's why we want to see you happy. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout amen. God richly bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you for being at Tuesday Night Bible Study.